There are times when a minister will say, the Lord has been dealing with me with a message to share to you. I don't have that tonight. So you might, before you say, well, sit down, brother. Let me tell you what I do have. I have a message that I would like to send to Jesus tonight. A thank you card for today. Because you know he had a choice in the matter. For God so loved the world, he gave. But you know his son had a choice in the matter himself. And tonight what I would like to do is send a postcard to Jesus and tell him thanks. Because you know we're just a few hours from Christmas Day being over. And if we're not careful, we will just, another year will pass by and we will think about Christmas again. But I have some thoughts that I would like to share with you tonight that I feel like, especially for myself, is good for me to review year round. Because this is not just a one day event. This is kind of like Thanksgiving. Sometimes with Thanksgiving, we feel like it's a day that we should be thankful for all that the Lord has done for us. But you know, really, that should just be one more reminder of all the other days that I'm thankful. So this day, I want to be from here on a reminder to me. This was just the day to stir up my pure mind by way of remembrance. You know, we don't know for sure that this is the day, but it really doesn't matter to me. Because when I look in the Word of God, I find there was a day that it happened. And so I'll just take this day to be my reminder. There are many times when I pray to the Lord, I ask Him for His blessings to me. Tonight, what I would like to do is bless the Lord. I think about a verse over in Psalms 103. Is it possible for us to bless the Lord? I believe it is. Psalms 103 and 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. A thanks to him for what he has done for us. For what he has done for me. There is another verse. It's a very small verse. In 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Verses 9 and 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And there could be a lot of things put in that category of what that might mean. But I want to tell you that the heading to me is Jesus being willing to come. In Luke, the 17th chapter, it talks about 10 lepers coming to Jesus. They had a need, got leprosy. I need help from you. And Jesus told them, said, go show yourselves to the priest. That was the only requirement that he gave them. And they started on their way, and while they were going, they were healed. And one returned with thanksgiving. Jesus didn't say anything about it. If you find that you've been healed, I require that you come back and thank me for it. He didn't do it. But you know what he did notice? When the one came back with thanksgiving, Jesus said, weren't there 10? Where's the other 9? He noticed. Folks, I want to tell you, I believe he notices if I come back with thanksgiving for what he has done for me. I want to be more careful about being thankful for the plan of salvation. Not take it for granted. Robert, last night in his family, sang a song that said, this story doesn't end in a manger. Today, thoughts have been coming to my mind. This story does not begin in a manger.
That's right.
Sometimes it is so easy for my mind to see him beginning in a manger. And it was an humble beginning. Folks, when I look back and start finding what really was the story, I find out humility didn't start in the manger. Humility started when he was in heaven and made the choice, I'm willing to make the sacrifice. Fanny Crosby sang a song, and I'd like you to sing a verse with me. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweet, just that ever was heard. This morning, we heard the story of Jesus when he was born. And you know, that story needs to be fresh in my mind year round. Because I'd like to look at something in that story that we heard this morning. In Luke, in the second chapter. You know, we hear about humility. And we hear about the verse that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Because, you know, if I were to have advertised Jesus coming, I don't think I would have wasted it on some shepherds out in the field. I believe I would have hit the biggest day at the temple and maybe just lowered Jesus down in their presence. That ought to be a hit. But you know what? There's a reason that it went the way it did. Because he had an humble beginning, and he also had an humble message for us, and they matched. It would not have matched for him to come in like a king and then talk to us about how to be a servant. But instead, he proved it by his life from the beginning. And he humbled himself before he ever got to the manger. The manger was just a sign that we get to see of it. When the angels proclaimed it, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men. Unto you is born this day. You know what? Jesus was not a stranger to them. It wasn't that they had just gotten a message from God, I need you to go say something is about to happen. Jesus had been living with them. And we find proof of that in the Bible. But then we also, when we look over in Philippians, Jesus gives us, we find some examples to follow. And we find out that he proved it before us. In Philippians, in the second chapter, and then the sixth verse, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself, this is Jesus, that came from heaven. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. You know, it got me to wondering, how did that transition take place? From him being the Son of God to being willing to make that change, to humble himself, to be a servant, to come in a manger, it could have been different for him. But the way he came matched the message that he gives to all of us to live by. And I'm thankful for that. And I get to see a little picture when he prayed to his Father. in the 17th chapter of John. Jesus has been through a lot now. You know, you think about what he had when he was in heaven, and then he comes down to so much rejection, and it's almost over, and he knows what's out ahead. And he has this to say to his Father, 17:4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, you know, look at this. He was well received when he was in heaven. He was so abused when he was on earth. And he comes to this place. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory I had before the world was. What that must have been before he was willing to humble himself and take up the form of a servant. You know what? I would like for this not to end with me at 12 o'clock. But the next time I need to humble myself, I need to realize how small it is compared to how much he humbled himself. You know, sometimes we hear on the news about a small child or a baby that is abused, maybe killed. And we say, that innocent child didn't ask to come here. You know, we've said those kind of things before. What about baby Jesus? Was it the same with him? He asked to come here. There's a song that says, there was glory all around him. Angels worshiped at his feet. They sang to him, holy, holy, and he reigned in majesty. That was before he was a baby in the manger. It says, then the Father spoke in sadness, my creation has been lost. Jesus said, I will redeem them. I will go and pay the cost. He left it all to come to Calvary. He left it all to set us free. He walked away from heaven's splendor. He left it all to come to me. There is a picture in a song that is about the best description that I can have of the transition that happened from Jesus in heaven with his Father and down here on earth. It says, the wonder of wonders, as she looked on his face, that this little boy spoke the worlds in their place. You remember when God, in the first chapter of Genesis, he spoke things into existence, but then he said, let us make man. And I don't think he just had a typographical error there. Jesus was right there along with him. This little boy spoke the worlds in their place, the stars and the moon shining brightly on them. The earth and the sun were created by him. And now he's a baby in a manger. The wonder of wonders, as she heard his small cry, that this was the same voice that thundered on Mount Sinai. The hand that she held so tenderly had made a dry path through the mighty Red Sea. The wonder of wonders, as she looked down and smiled, that he was her maker as well as her child. He created the womb that had given him birth. He was God incarnate, come down to earth. The wonder of wonders, as his Father looked on, in eternity past, this was his Son. He had sent him to die on Calvary's tree, and that is the wonder of wonders for me. The wonder of wonders, oh, how could it be that God became flesh and was given for me? The Almighty came down and he walked among men. The wonder of wonders that he died for my sin. There's another song that tells us about the contrast. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny. If Folks, this wasn't a surprise for him. I thought it was going to be better. The times he was praying to his father, it wasn't about, you didn't tell me it was going to be this bad. No, he was willing to do it. He was just asking for the grace that was needed to finish it. He left the splendor of heaven knowing his destiny. He walked a lonely hill to Golgotha. And there he laid down his life for me. If that isn't love. So the next time I think about that, it started in a manger. Oh no. It started long before the manger. To look at another place that tells me about the contrast from when he was in heaven and when he came to earth is in the 6th chapter of John. It says he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. You know, in this chapter, talk about a roller coaster of emotions. Because you know what? Every one of us would like to be liked. There was a place in the 6th chapter of John where he was well liked. And before the chapter closed out, he wondered if there would be anyone left. I'd like to look at a few of those verses. In the 6th chapter of John, in the 10th verse, when Jesus fed the 5,000, it was no big job to him to be able to do it. And when he did it, the people were so impressed with his ability. To where they said in the 14th verse, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. And it says in the next one, Jesus is riding the high wave of emotion now. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he's well liked right now. He departed and went into a mountain himself alone. When I look at where he was in heaven and made the choice to come down as humble as he did. And then when he does this miracle, people love him. This is who I want to be my king. There's free food out in the future. You talk about manna that Moses did. Jesus just produced the food for 5,000 with no effort. And they're ready to make him a king. But then he starts talking to them of what it's going to be like to follow him. And things start changing. I look on down in the 38th verse of this chapter. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And it says the Jews murmured at him in the 41st verse, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, you remember just a little bit ago they're wanting to make him a king. And now what they're saying is in the 42nd verse, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? If they could have only known where he was a few years earlier, before those angels came and proclaimed it to the shepherds, he had been with them. Now he's trying to convince them, I came from heaven. And it goes on down before that is over in the 61st verse. 61 at the end of it, it says, doth this offend you? What an if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. Again, he's reminding them, I came from heaven. What if you were to see me go back again? And it says that there were many of them that turned and went away. To the point that there's something for me to learn about Jesus here. He didn't go after numbers. He could have said, stop, stop, please don't go. What do I need to do to keep you? And he didn't do it. Many of them went away to where he had a question to his disciples. Will ye also go away. You know what? If they'd have said, we've had it too, he would have been alone. He was alone just a few days later when all men forsook him and he stood by himself. But he's asking his disciples, will you also go away? And I love the answer that Peter gave him in the 68th verse. You know, they probably did not understand what all was going on right then themselves. But they did know one thing. We're following you. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There's a lot of things in life that maybe we don't understand. But I understand one thing. You came from heaven. And you have the words of eternal life for me to be with you out in the future. And I will follow you. We believe, 69th verse, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. So with that tonight, now it's my turn. And I'm thinking of a verse in our songbook. It's number 264. The first and the fifth verse, I ought to love my Savior. He loved me long ago. He looked on my soul with favor when I was deep in guilt and woe. And though my sin had grieved him, his Father's law had crossed. Love drew him down from heaven to seek and save the lost. It included me. And you know what? I want to remember it not just on the 25th of December, but I want to remember it throughout the year. In the fifth verse, O Christ, I can but love thee. What heart could e'er withhold a love that costs so dearly the offering of thy soul? O King of love immortal, reign in my heart alone and flood this earthen temple with glory from thy throne. So I would like to close this thank you card with a thanksgiving for myself. I am so thankful that he was willing to bring down the plan of salvation. It didn't start in a manger. You know, a baby has nothing to do with whether they live or whether they die. Jesus had everything to do with whether he even came down or whether he didn't. He was willing to be able to do it. We sang a song this morning, Salvation Has Been Brought Down, and I am very thankful for it. And I want to be able to show the Lord by my life in the other 364 days of the year that I'm reminded what he gave up before he ever even came down and suffered the things that we read about in the scriptures. He came from heaven before he got to the manger. And he was willing to show humility, willing to humble himself there. I can surely humble myself here. I desire your prayers. I would like to again sing that song that we sang a while ago. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders.